you would stand with me and turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. You might even be able to just quote this because we've looked at it before, but in a different light this morning. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It's about the gospel of God and living the gospel or walking in the gospel. And let's come and see this morning. Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles," or to the Greeks. "For in the gospel the righteousness of God revealed, from the beginning faith it takes, to the end it is faith all the way, as it is written in the scriptures, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray. Our Father, today we want to thank you for and give you the glory for the things that you have revealed in this place today. And Father, we thank you for the strength that we have and the resources that we have and the motivation that we have to go and to work and to serve and to do your will and to glorify you in all the ways that we can. We just pray now that you'll bless the reading of your word to our hearts and to our lives, and it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And you may be seated. There are just three points you need to remember that this morning is the gospel defined, the gospel received, and then the gospel observed or applied into our lives. And as Dinah was standing up here, I thought she's going to preach the whole message that I have this morning, because she was right on when she said the gospel is a living thing. It is something to be lived in our lives, and we are called by God unto God through this gospel. So the gospel is a living truth. It's a living thing. And we are to live by the gospel. And that is, God gives his purpose to us through his gospel message. And the hearing the gospel and through the gospel, it is a call to you and to me to come unto God. And what is that call? It's a call to repent. It's a call to have faith. So if you look with me, turn over in your Bibles just very quickly in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The gospel defined. What does it mean? Well, the gospel, according to Mark, he recorded the servant aspect of our Lord as he came to this earth and as he had his public ministry and as he was crucified and rose again from the dead. Look with me at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says this: "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So here at the beginning, just right off, Mark comes and declares the gospel has a beginning and it has a purpose and it is alive and it accomplishes. Verse 2 says, "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face," referring to John the Baptist, "who shall prepare the way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." The gospel defined, it is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's how Mark wrote his gospel throughout there. The word gospel, we're familiar with it, maybe over familiar with it, we don't think about it all that much, but it just means the good news. It means to go and tell someone good news. It means to herald something, to make a big show, a big proclamation about this good news. And concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is that you and I are to go and to proclaim the glorious truth of Jesus Christ and what he did. And so it is this word gospel, and it's where we get our other English word evangelism, or to evangelize, and it means to announce the glad tidings of something that's come here. And in the New Testament, this word is found 101 times in about 95 verses, and it just means good news. Now, we hear this all the time, and I think it's kind of like Uzzah. We're familiar with it. Maybe it's not the ark. It's not the ark. And maybe it's not something else. But, you know, sometimes with the gospel, we can become so familiar that maybe we're complacent about what the gospel really is and how important it is. And so we just need to kind of have an attitude check within our own hearts and with our own lives about everything that we do for the Lord. And so it does mean good news. But what good news is it? I mean, I can bring good news to someone. Oh, well, this happened or that happened, and make people happy. But this is somewhat more profound than just something casual happening in life. You see, the gospel deals with the truth. The truth is what is reality. Now, we live in a culture. How many of you have heard or even used the term virtual reality? How many of you have done it? Virtual reality. It is neither virtual and neither is it reality. In reality, it's not. What does it mean? Virtual reality means, in the computer world, it means to simulate something that's supposed to show something that's real. And so we have all these virtual reality things out there that are really not real and all of that. And so I just don't want us to be confused or mixed up or just let that bleed over into our thinking, into our lives, because you see, the gospel of God is the absolute truth of God. It is the absolute truth. It's not a model of reality at all, but it's what really is real, what really is true. And so in many things in our world and our culture today, reality is not real at all. But the gospel is the good news, and it's the truth, and it is real. Well, what is it? It is the good news that is actually the truth. It's the good news about God. He's the creator, as we've heard quoted already this morning. God is the creator. He's the one who made all things. He is the one who's all powerful. He's the one that oversees all the works of his hands. He is righteous and he's holy. We saw that in the account of Uzzah in the Old Testament. God struck Uzzah dead because he presumed on God. He presumed to help out God, and it was a mistake on his part, but it was a serious one, and God struck him dead for that. So God is an awesome God. God has also been called an awful God, because if we fall, it's an awful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, the book of Hebrews tells us. Because God is who he is, and this gospel is about who God is, about what he has done, and his son Jesus Christ is equally God. When Diana referred to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, that's who God is. He's the Father, he's the Son, and he's the Holy Spirit. And he's holy, and he's righteous, and he is an awesome God, and it is an awful thing, or an awesome thing, to fall in the hands of the living God. So the gospel is actually the truth about God. But the gospel is also the truth about man. What is the truth about man? Man was created in the image of God. There's not another creature on the face of the earth like human beings. We live in a world where people want to say everything sprung from one little cell billions of years ago and all of that, and that way you remove God from the picture, and that's their goal, that's their motive to do that. But the reality is, God made Adam, then he formed Eve, and then everything was good, everything was perfect. But then sin came into the picture, and Adam passed on to every single one of us, from his first child all the way down to us and everyone else who comes after us before he comes back again. He passed on sin. We are born in this world and we will sin because it was passed on through the first Adam, and that is Adam that we know there from the Garden of Eden. So we learn the truth out of the gospel about sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news also tells us something more. It tells us all about sin. Sin opposes God. Sin is despicable in the sight of God. God cannot tolerate it. He cannot be in it because who he is and the fact that he is holy, he must punish sin. He must do that. And so death is the reality that sin is actually real. Death is the reality to that. Then the fourth thing about the gospel, the good news, and that is the truth about life and death. Why do we have life? Because God gave it. Why do we have death? Because sin is present with each and every one of us. So sin and the gospel, God's gospel is the message that brings you and me to the knowledge of the truth. And through this truth, you and I can examine ourselves and look at our lives. And then we can, if God is calling us, then we come to him with this through his gospel. So God says certain things are sin, like lying, stealing, adultery, and all sorts of things, immoral acts and all that type of thing. And God has condemned all sinners, and that's all of us. That's every single one of us, and that's part of the gospel. It's part that a lot of people don't like. I'm not that bad like that terrible criminal over there is. It's the same. We all have this sin within us. But you know what? The amazing thing about the gospel is God forgives sin. You know, on the cross, when Jesus, just at the very last few moments of his life, he cried out from the cross, "It is finished." I've heard, been studying a little bit more on that a little bit here lately, and it's the Greek word tetelestai, just one word in the Greek language there. But it's to pay a debt, one of the, to complete something, or to pay a debt in full. So when Jesus cried out from the cross, he could just, if it's English, he was doing it today in English, he would have said, "Paid in full," and then he dismissed his spirit, he died. And that's the gospel. He paid the debt for you and me, and that's the gospel of God. And he gave himself for us so that you and I might know the forgiveness of our sins. So that is just the gospel defined, just very briefly there. Then the gospel is something that must be received, and it is a call from God. Diana had it exactly right. The gospel of God is God's way of calling lost sinners to himself. And it is a call, and by the reasoning that it is a call, we are called out of a life of sin, and we are called to live a life unto God. And this is very important, because oftentimes that's where it ends with some people. They're guilty about their sin, they feel bad about their sin, and so they think about it and say, "Well, Jesus died for me, yeah, I can believe that, and he rose again from the dead for me, yeah, I can believe that, and so, yeah, you know, I am a sinner, and you know, if I die like this, I'm going to go to hell when I die." So people are stirred and moved, and they'll call upon the name of the Lord, and they'll pray. And when they pray, I think maybe truly born again. Some people may not be. I like the way, I think it was Bob said it a few moments ago, when some of these pray, and the countenance on their face changes. They're different. Something happened. When a person is truly born again, something happens, and that is the call of God that transforms a life, a human life that was dead in trespasses and sin, and makes it come alive unto God. And so the gospel of God is the living gospel, and you and I are to not just to have the gospel to get saved by and to get other people saved by, but the gospel of God is a way of life. It is a way of living. We'll see that here within some scriptures in just a moment. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, John wrote this. He says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but rather the will of God." It is the gospel of God that calls us men, people, out of a life of sin and rebellion, and calls us unto himself. And we receive the power when we receive Christ. The power for what? The power to live the gospel. Does that make sense? The power to live the gospel. You see, we don't come to the Lord and receive Christ this to go back out into the world, because the gospel call is to come out of the world, to come out of sin, to come out of rebellion, to come out of filth, to come out of the things that separate us from God. We are called to come out of those, and so we are called to live the gospel of God in our lives. And so through this gospel, then, we receive the power to know God and to know Christ and to trust in him. Then the third and the last point and aspect of this is the gospel is to be applied to our lives. If you look with me in your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. Peter wrote, he says, For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. It begins with the people of God. And he says, and if it first begins with us, then what shall be the end of them that do not obey the gospel? You see, there is a scenario of obeying the gospel. The gospel is a living message. It's a life message. It is an ongoing message in your life and in my life. Because the gospel of God is the love of God towards sinful mankind, the forgiveness of sins, the whole picture that I shared just a moment ago. And you and I are now gospels. Your life and my life, in a lot of ways and a lot of places, is the only gospel that some people will ever hear or ever see or ever read. They will read your life and my life, and that's what they'll do. Then look with me in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation as it becomes the gospel of Christ. You see, the gospel is to transform our conversation. The things that we say, the things that we talk about, the subjects that we talk about. That whether I come and see you or else I be absent, Paul writes, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, notice, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. It is an ongoing issue. The gospel of God is an ongoing life. It's an ongoing way of life. Romans chapter 2, verse 8. Three more scriptures and we'll be finished this morning. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. But unto them, Paul writes, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, on them is indignation and wrath. And then it goes on in the next verse. But he says, those that do not obey the truth. And what is the truth? The gospel is the truth that Paul is referring to there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So John is writing about that we walk in the light of the truth, the light of the gospel. We walk in that light because the gospel is a living element and a living part, a living character in our hearts and in our lives. In the last scripture, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said this, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Pretty simple. Let your light shine before me. How? By living the truth of the gospel out in our lives. And others will see our good works, and then they'll say, there's God. I see God in that person.